This is Barry Bloom of MLB.com. Now, back to the Giants pregame show with Marty Lurie on KNBR 680.
Very good, guys. You guys have been terrific today. We'll be back with a postgame show today as well. Something unusual happened during the game today that we can all talk about. But Barry Bloom joins us from MLB.com. He's covering for Chris Haft, who's back up in the Bay Area. So he's covering the Giants today. But Barry, before we start off, today's original Joe's pool qualifying question. And we do this, and at Baseball Marty, people tweet in, or they can call Raf at 808-KMBR, and it involves math. I let everyone know that on a Sunday. It involves math, and it's the total of runs plus hits of both teams. So if the Giants get 4 runs and 5 hits, that's 9, and the Diamondbacks get 3 hits and 2 runs, that's 5. So if you put them together, that would be 14. So that's the issue. We want one number. All right, I want to make it clear. So it's math today. You're going to have to come to one of our dinners up in the Bay Area.
Sure, that'd be great.
Yeah, next time you're up there.
I'd say 25.
All right, we'll put Barry Bloom down for 25. All right, you're down for 25.
I'm in.
All right, sounds like the Sting here. All right, WBC, and you and I talked about it a couple of weeks ago, it surpassed, I think, what even MLB thought was coming. This has just been amazing. Every game is like a highly competitive game. Maybe only one was a blowout.
And that was a strange blowout because it was Puerto Rico killing Venezuela in a 10-run rule game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who would have guessed that? But, I think essentially the players go and the pride for the country, and a lot of them talk about having their country name across their chest. They play hard, you know, like it's a playoff game. The atmosphere for the Dominican game with the U.S. down in Marlins Park last night was a graduated playoff game. That was a come-from-behind win by the DR. And like we were talking about earlier, there are really no gimme teams anymore in this tournament. Part of it is the qualifying process that the gimme teams like Pakistan, they're in the qualifying round now and they get knocked out. So there are no South Africans that have been put into the bracket of 16 just to round out the bracket. Every team that's in the 16 has competed either in a qualifier or they've gone on to the second round in the previous tournament and pre-qualified. So you have all these competitive teams and all the upstart teams like Israel, Colombia, Italy, Netherlands now. They're all graduated baseball teams with people from different areas of the world who have all grown, and they're growing baseball everywhere because of this.
What did you think of the game last night? I know the U.S. loses it. It's an amazing home run by Cruz and another home run and a 5-0 lead. Come on, then they end up losing the game. And also the atmosphere in Miami, because I want to talk to you about that. I did a little talk with Bruce Jenkins about this, too.
I'm tired of the U.S. I'm tired of the way they handle it. They put more restrictions, especially on pitching, on the U.S. team than any other team in the tournament. You don't hear any of this stuff like after game one where they had to use 7 pitchers to beat Colombia. You know, Leland came out and said he could only use Archer for 4 innings because of an agreement with Tampa Bay. They don't have those agreements. Dominican, Venezuela, why the U.S. is strapped by these rules, I don't understand it. And until they don't do it, and they get the best players to play for it, you're not going to have a situation where they're going to be competitive in this tournament. And you see it with Israel. You know, Israel's got all American Jews. They're all playing for a cause. They're all playing for their own Judaism. And they're a tight group of teams that, you know, there's a lot of joking about the bench on the bench, you know, which was started by Cody Decker. Will Varnway hit a home run the other day. And he came back to the dugout, and they put him on a chair, and they were running around the dugout with a chair like it was the horror. I mean, these are the things that they do. You know, and when the Americans win, they're under a lot of pressure to do it. And when they do win, it's a great thing for them. They get as excited as anybody, but it seems to me they play tight. And as far as I just touched on it, where the Dominicans play, their fans and the Dominican team are uproarious. It's been this way since the tournament started in 2006. in Latin America, and as you saw in Cuba at the games, it's a completely different environment, the way fans react in a game and the way it is, you know, in the U.S.
Yeah. Now, I brought this up with Bruce. I'll get your opinion of it. Miami, Jeffrey Loria, the way that franchise has been run, the attendance and everything else, $37,000 last night, $1,000 scalp tickets. It's an international city of South America and the Caribbean. Doesn't that suggest something to you that maybe Miami's not doing this thing correctly with the Marlins, if you have that kind of enthusiasm that could come out there?
In his behalf, this is why, you know, the tragedy with Fernandez hit so close to home. Because what they were doing is they were trying to do it. They were building around this young guy who was very personable and was a great pitcher. You know, this tournament down there with Stanton, Yelich, and Fernandez was supposed to pitch in it. This was built around Fernandez and having the Cuban community come out and also, you know, root for the U.S. and Fernandez. Same thing in the All-Star game. The whole All-Star game was built around having Fernandez. And now that he's gone, and the way he died, and the circumstances around it, it really put a whole pull on what the franchise was doing. But, yeah, it to your point, they should be building an international team.
Really?
With, you know, filled with Dominicans, Colombians, you know, whatever.
They all live there.
Right. And to draw those people to the ballpark to get excited about their team.
I think that's the one lesson I'm taking, because I grew up in South Florida. You know, I went to school there and everything else. But that's the one lesson I'm taking from this, is that their baseball fans are there. You just have to give them the product and engage with them. And
well, here's the thing. Yeah. The white, middle, and upper-class baseball fans are not going to drive down from Broward and Palm Beach County to Miami to these games. You know, they didn't go to the other park, and they're not going down further into Little Havana to these games. So essentially, you have to build around the culture that surrounds the ballpark and then draw people and make it inexpensive enough for people to go to the games on a regular basis and draw from the community around the ballpark.
All right. Well, then do that. But it showed me that, I mean, I liked the excitement. I did. And, of course, as Bernie was here, we saw games in Cuba as well. And so I heard the noise again. I heard that noise had never stopped.
Well,
the whole game.
Well, the horns will drive you crazy.
Well, and plus in Japan, they got the sticks.
Right.
Right. Uvesa, whatever the...
And in Korea, where they were playing trumpets throughout the whole time Korea was in the field.
What a time. Well, it's actually, I think, turned out pretty well.
Yeah.
Don't you?
No, there's no doubt. I mean, if you look at 2006 to now, you know, the key to this, which nobody really understands, is that every time they play, a country plays in this thing, there's money that goes to the Baseball Federation in that country that's explicitly earmarked to grow baseball. So now you're seeing all these kids from the Netherlands Antilles that are playing in the major leagues. You're seeing Italians who are playing in the major leagues. You're seeing countries like Great Britain, who was pretty competitive and lost to Israel in Brooklyn. You know, they're building baseball. Israel, who's got, like they said, 1,000 people play baseball in Israel. But this whole thing,
they play stickball.
Yeah, they're putting this on the map.
In Brooklyn, we played stickball.
Right, that was Brooklyn. In Tel Aviv, they don't play.
They
stickball.
They get a wall, they get a tennis ball and a broomstick.
I don't think
you play stickball.
I don't think you can play stickball against the Wailing Wall.
Well, they have a built-in wall.
They
right?
have a built-in wall.
All
yeah.
right, very very good. All right, Barry Bloom, the mensch on the bench, he's here today. How was your week of Cactus League this week? Anything jump out at you? I know. These things run together every day. We sort of forget about everything. Anything jumping out at you?
Yeah, but the thing that jumps out at me is that having seen every team either in practice or games out here, there are really 5 good teams here. The other 10 really don't even bother putting a season together because they're just not competitive. I mean, you go into places where, you know, Milwaukee, Padres, Angels, they don't have pitching staffs. You know, I was laughing about it here because I was talking to somebody, and the biggest problem in Giant Camp is who's going to be the number 5 starter or the left fielder. In the other camps, they're looking for whole outfields and whole pitching staffs.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, thanks for being with us as always. Very good. I'm glad that we're covering the WBC. and you've done a good job of that. That is Barry Bloom, our senior writer of MLB.com, filling in for Chris Half today.